David's daily digital dollop, dollop 116. Nigel and Boris are out of line. Back of the queue, boys. A few days ago, Boris Johnson made some risible remarks in the Sun newspaper about Obama getting rid of the bust of Sir Winston Churchill from the Oval Office. Something mysterious happened. This is what he wrote. Something mysterious happened when Barack Obama entered the Oval Office in 2009. Something vanished from that room, and no one could quite explain why. It was a bust of Winston Churchill, the great British wartime leader. It had sat there for almost 10 years, but on day one of the Obama administration, it was returned, without ceremony, to the British Embassy in Washington. No one was sure whether the president had himself been involved in the decision. Some said that it was a snub to Britain. Some said that it was a symbol of the part Kenyan president's ancestral dislike of the British Empire, of which Churchill had been such a fervent defender. This seems like a very weak, shoehorned attempt to suggest that Obama is in some way anti-British, presumably in an effort...
Ladies and gentlemen,
bloody hell!
You have 30 minutes. At this evening's performance, we have a full company performing. Your MD this evening is Mr. Liam Dunnicky. Could all council girls and dynamites please now make their way to the wigs area, upstage left. Could all council girls and dynamites please now make their way to the wigs area, upstage left. And could all visitors please now leave the backstage areas. Ladies and gentlemen, you're half our call. You have 30 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you. No idea. There's another production going on. There's a musical production or something going on, and which involves the actress Claire Sweeney. I'd never heard of her before. She was there, and Michael spoke to her. But again, being the idiot that he is, didn't tell me first. And we could have played the Fig Roll Fame game. If you've not heard the Young'uns podcast before, then you won't know what I'm talking about. We could have played the Fig Roll Fame game or Celebrity Hobnob. But Michael, yet again, squandered that chance. Anyway, this has taken me off the point now. So that's an announcement for the other theatre production, but it's so loud in the dressing room. It's massively loud. This seems like a very weak, shoehorned attempt to suggest that Obama is in some way anti-British, presumably in an effort to discredit his motives and his position about Britain staying in the EU. Otherwise, why reference it? This is the opening paragraph of the article, so Boris has clearly deemed it an important point on which to hang the rest of his argument. His manner of writing engenders a feeling of conspiracy. Something mysterious happened when Barack Obama entered the Oval Office in 2009. Something vanished from that room. Boris does his best to keep the atmosphere of conspiracy alive by writing, "No one was sure whether the president had himself been involved in the decision. Some said that it was a snub to Britain. Some said that it was a symbol of the part Kenyan president's ancestral dislike of the British Empire." Clearly this is just vague conjecture then, as Boris has tacitly admitted, only veiling it in the cloak of conspiracy and intrigue. I'm sure many Sun readers will be sucked into Boris's style of writing and will already be horrified by Obama's anti-British audacity to remove a bust of the great British wartime leader. He clearly added that description of Churchill to stir up patriotic emotion within readers, unless he honestly thought that the people reading might not know who Churchill is. Perhaps he was worried that someone might get confused and imagine that Obama removed a bust of the nodding dog from the insurance TV adverts. I suppose that would put a very different spin on Obama's decision. Boris wouldn't want to discredit his entire article, having his readers completely miss the point and assume that Obama had spotted a bust of a dog from a British TV advert and decided to remove it. Boris's readers would be confused as to why Boris was making such a big thing of it. After all, it seemed like a perfectly logical thing for Obama to do. I mean, this was a bust of a dog from an advert that wasn't even on American television. Of all the iconic things that could possibly be hanging from the Oval Office, surely a bust of a talking dog from a British television advert was highly odd and dubious as a choice. Boris had said that it had been hanging there for almost 10 years, since 1999. The Churchill dog only started appearing on British television in 2004. So there would have been 5 years when even British people visiting the Oval Office wouldn't have a clue what the bust was all about. Perhaps the bust went largely ignored for the first 5 years. No one quite understood what the heck it was, why it was there, but it was harmless enough, and so they just left it there to hang. But then 2004 came and the TV adverts started appearing on British screens, and every time someone from Britain entered the Oval Office, they would mysteriously turn towards the dog and say, Oh, yes. In an odd voice before laughing. Obama might have heard about this strange British quirk and the mysterious and peculiar effect that the dog bust had on British people. He'd been told how Gordon Brown found it all highly amusing, sometimes spending minutes just lost in his own world having a conversation with the dog, then replying to his questions in the dog's voice.
Will I still be PM after the election?
Oh, yes.
Should we just keep spending?
Oh, yes.
Obama consequently had the dog bust removed, both for his sanity and the sanity of Gordon Brown and all the other weird British people who took up hours of precious presidential time talking to a dog, saying,
oh, yes,
and then laughing rather than concentrating on the important reasons for their visit. Despite Boris's best efforts to make his Sun article opener sound like an interesting, worthy conspiracy theory, all he has really done is highlight how much of a non-story this is. No one was sure whether the president had himself been involved in the decision, he writes. And surely that's the point, Boris. No one was sure. You've chosen to hang your argument on this weakest of threads, and you yourself have to admit that the decision to remove the bust might have not had anything to do with Obama anyway. So you can dress it up as an interesting conspiracy theory if you want, but essentially it's a non-story, which has subsequently been debunked as complete bollocks. Apparently the bust was removed before Obama entered office, although in fairness to Boris, no one was sure that Obama didn't employ a psychic to send telepathic messages to people in the White House to have the bust removed before he became president, in order to make it appear that the decision had nothing to do with him. No one is sure about that. The fact that he also writes, some people said, ... is also very vague, and is extra indication that this theory of Boris's is just that, a theory, a very weak conspiracy theory on which he pins his argument, clearly as a way to try and get the idea across that Obama is in some way anti-British.
Ladies and gentlemen, the house is now open. Please do not cross the stage. Keep all noise in the wings to a minimum. The house is now open. Please do not cross the stage. Keep all noise in the wings to a minimum. Thank you.
Fortunately, the Leave campaign has much more credible people behind it and doesn't solely consist of Boris Johnson and his peculiar, fatuous conspiracy theories. Otherwise, they might be in serious trouble. The good news for the Leave team is that they have Nigel Farage, who's much more level-headed and wouldn't waste time concocting peculiar, spurious theories about Obama. Nigel Farage was dismissive of Obama's comments about Britain leaving the EU. Obama said that Britain could face being pushed to the back of the queue when it came to drawing up trade agreements with the US. But Nigel wasn't having any of it, accusing Obama of merely parroting the British PM. But as you'd expect, Farage wasn't going to make such a statement glibly. He hadn't just jumped to that conclusion on next to no hard or real evidence. Obama might have got away with merely parroting the PM were it not for Farage's impressive intellect and powers of deduction. This is what Nigel said to Sky News. He said, "We'd be at the back of the queue." Interesting, isn't it? Americans don't use the word queue. They use the word line. So he's clearly just parroting Cameron. Yes, very interesting, Nigel. An observation that both shows off your amazing detective skills and also clearly showcases your abilities as a worthy contributor on Countdown's Dictionary Corner. The pro-Leave people were jubilant, ecstatic that Obama had been found out by Nigel's incredible power of deduction. If he'd have only said line, then presumably Farage and the Leave campaigners would have been more accepting of Obama's words. But he said Q, didn't he? He did. He said Q, and Americans don't say Q. So he was obviously merely parroting the PM. In fact, no one was sure that David Cameron didn't have Obama hypnotised to repeat that phrase whenever someone asked him about leaving the EU and how it would affect Britain drawing up trade agreements with the US. No one was sure that that didn't happen. If only they'd have hypnotised him to say line instead of Q, then Cameron and the pro-EU team would have gotten away with it. But they didn't, did they? He was programmed to say Q, not line. And of course, Americans don't say Q. They say line, don't they? What a bunch of mind-manipulating idiots Cameron and the pro-EU brigade are. If only they'd said Q, not line, it would have all been fine. Except, Americans do say Q. It's in the American dictionaries. I've checked. It took me less than 2 minutes to do. I found definitions on five American dictionaries for the word Q. You'd have thought that maybe Farage could have spared a couple of minutes to do some cursory linguistic research before he presented this theory to the media. But in fairness to Farage, it sounds like a really good theory, doesn't it? And it would be a shame to have it ruined just because it doesn't happen to be factually accurate.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your act one beginning.
Shut up!
All act one beginning at the stage. Mr. Dunkey and gentlemen, banjo callbys.
Mr. I don't care about Mr. Donoghue and his gentlemen. I don't care about Claire Sweeney. You're ruining this blog. You're probably set up by Boris Johnson and Nigel Farage to try and sabotage it, Claire Sweeney. It would be a shame to have a theory ruined just because it happened to not be factually accurate. Granted, the word Q is less common in America than it is in England, but it's not as if the word is never used and has been in Britain before. So it's not unlikely that he's picked up some of our lingo. After all, Farage is married to a German woman who presumably speaks English, but I assume that Farage is happy to accept this and doesn't accuse her of merely being his parrot. But I might be wrong. After all, no one is sure that Farage doesn't force his wife to put on a costume made of feathers, flap her arms about, squawk, and then repeat everything that Nigel says, only in the voice of a parrot. Some people say that he does this because he finds it sexually arousing. Some people say that he does this because he is an oddball with a weird power complex. No one is sure.